exposing the contorted tunnel route within. Bjorn glanced up at one of the real viewports, an iron-rimmed window filled with the dark shadow of the Ragnarok. He wanted to call out, or salute, or mark the stand in some fitting way, but all gestures seemed futile. The aperture's lip swept past, and the roiling mass of cluster cloud blurred the port, blocking sight of the doomed battleship.
"Until next winter," breathed Bjorn, bowing his head.
"Maintain fire rate!"
roared Gunn, striding back and forth across his bridge, ignoring the showers of sparks and the shrieks of tearing metal. Acer and Skryer remained at his side, though the rest of the great company had taken to the saviour pods and were now surging across to the sanctuary of the Rusvangum. Every hand who could be spared had been jettisoned, leaving behind only those required to man the guns, to keep the broadsides hammering, to keep the shield generators powered for as long as possible. Thousands had been saved. Thousands would still die.
"You should go too,"
he told them.
Aesir grinned back. "No pods remain. In any case, I wish to see this."
Lord Gunn grunted, half approving, before turning back to the business of hurling out orders.
"Hold position! Do not drift!"
The Alpha Legion were pouring through the gap now, spilling out of the tunnel like rats from a pipe. Ragnarok's assault had accounted for many more of the smaller escorts, which blazed and fizzed like firecrackers. But now the capital ships were emerging, their armoured prows able to weather the storm and their lances glowing hot for the strike. The first impact struck halfway along the Ragnarok's facing flank, a line of searing white that punched through the outer hull and into the decks beyond, shredding adamantium and melting steel. Two more shots scythed inwards, spat out from the looming shadows of the Zeta Teleos and Gamma Lycurgus. Ragnarok's bridge rocked, and a buttress crashed down from the roof near the forward-facing oculus. Cracks zigzagged across the deck, followed by the ominous creak of spars flexing.
"Keep firing!"
bellowed Gunn, knowing his voice would be transmitted to all gunnery levels, amplified to all crews still sweating at their stations, even as the ship's decks rippled and cracked around them.
"The hounds have been loosed,"
said Skryer, his voice darkly appreciative.
"Here come the masters."
Ragnarok was losing position now, hammered back by the rain of incoming projectiles. Some escort-class ships had powered on past, swinging upwards to follow the escaping wolves' main fleet, but the tight confines of the intersection chamber made a pass by the bigger ships more dangerous. They would have to destroy the Ragnarok first.
"This is the one,"
said Gunn, striding over to a distorted tactical hololith that hissed with white noise, and pointing at a new ident rune emerging into the intersection chamber. It was the Delta, the largest of many of that name. Sleek-jowled and sparse-framed, a hunter-killer of impeccable pedigree, its prow glistening sapphire, and its weapon ranks pristine in polished steel. So many of the Alpha Legion ships were in prime condition, laid down last in the long line of Martian foundry orders and unscarred by centuries of war. Not for the first time Lord Gunn cursed the 20th Legion's place in the Great Crusade. They had not suffered, they had not conquered, and now they were positioned to break the back of a legion that had done both. Aesir was already sending orders to the burning engine rooms. Skryer was commanding the response crews to shore up what bulkheads remained, to limit the spread of the fires that surged down the crumbling network of corridors and shafts. Gunn remained in position, watching as the Delta edged closer. Its flanks were already alight, hurling lasbeams at Ragnarok's failing void shields, cycling up for lance strikes into its smouldering bows. That one battleship could already muster power far in excess of that left to Gunn, and the Ragnarok was also being hit by volleys from a dozen more ships.
"Enact,"
he said, his eyes alight with fervour.
"Now!"
The Delta remained at range, hanging over the Ragnarok's prow and discharging its deadly payload. Its commander planned to cut up his prey from a distance, clinically, harbouring his already overbearing strength for the greater battle to come. Ragnarok shuddered as the course change order filtered down to the Engineerium. The blackened prow swept upwards, driving directly into the heart of the storm, and its forward rear viewers were lost in a haze of multicolour as the remaining void shields took the strain.
"Slower!"
ordered Gunn. His hearts were hammering now, his eyes fixed on the prize. The Delta was a similar size to Ragnarok, and the two immense vessels, one burning, the other undamaged, dwarfed all others in immediate range.
"Not yet."
All his remaining guns angled aft of the Alpha Legion battleship, slicing past its rear thrusters. The final salvos of torpedoes were launched, along the same trajectory, snaking impotently towards Delta's hindquarters. It was trivial for the Alpha Legion navigators to keep their ship away from such erratically aimed dregs. All they had to do was hold station, hovering just under the curve of the blood-red clouds and raining more accurate fire down on the approaching Ragnarok. But holding station was all Gunn required of them. A ranged firefight was not what he had in mind.
"Now! Everything!"
he roared.
"Everything!"
The jump in power was instant. The Ragnarok had sacrificed all else to give itself one last boost to the plasma drives, a final surge. Its spine aflame, its weapons gone, its shields flickering out, but still with just enough brute mass to endure the desperate barrage from its target. The Delta saw the danger too late, and tried to move, but it was hemmed in, trapped against the inner wall of the gas clouds, caught ahead of the arriving Alpha Legion ships, and blocked below by the rapidly closing mass of Ragnarok. The two monsters hurtled towards one another, one flaying its engines in direct-line speed, the other twisting awkwardly to evade the collision. Gunn drew in a deep, satisfied breath, seeing the outcomes narrow down. He watched as the Delta's flanks filled the forward oculus, rank after rank of raging macro cannons, huge overhanging plates of sapphire hull sections, the Hydra icon of the enemy picked out in bronze and verdigris.
"I still serve," he whispered.
Ragnarok's prow crashed into the Delta amidships, plunging through its outer shields with a rolling crack of dissipating energy fields. The entire bridge slammed over, tilting hard. Armor glass shattered, the floor thrust up, and the remaining thralls were thrown from their stations. Aesir was crushed as one of the supporting pillars came down across him, while Skryr was lost in a riot of explosions down in the servitor pits. Lord Gunn alone kept his feet, staring up at the carnage overtaking both ships. For all its incredible mass and momentum, Ragnarok's charge was not enough to break the Delta apart. Its prow lodged deep, grinding to a halt amid the twisted glut of melded decks. The Delta's own powerful engines kicked back, and the snap and boom of macro charges announced the imminent arrival of boarding parties. All of that, though, was now useless. The Ragnarok's charge had not been launched with the aim of destroying the Delta, but to push them both into the looming tunnel's edge. As Gunn's bridge began to fold in on itself, the first blush of crimson rushed across the Delta's trapped flank, gnawing at the reactive shield cover. He began to laugh, taking pleasure in the kill. He was alone now, his crew slain, his throne consumed by fire, his domain imploding. A cluster of cables swung down from the roof, spewing sparks that skittered and bounded across the deck. From below, he heard the booms of the superstructure coming apart, consigning any still alive to the chill of the void. It had been enough. The engine still burned, disconnected from his control, but raging with their inferno hearts, shoving both ships into the embrace of corrosion. He imagined the panic spreading on the Delta, cascading from deck to deck. He imagined the fury of the commanders and the scrabbling, futile search for teleporters before all was lost.
"No time left,"
he said out loud, savouring the knowledge. Ahead of him, witnessed through the jagged edge of smashed armor glass viewers, the Delta was clawed apart, its outer shell oxidized and its soft innards burst into pulp. Something huge detonated, fuel lines perhaps, or a shield generator, and a tide of unleashed fire swept from stern to bow, breaking up hull plates as it travelled. The entire structure shivered, and deep explosions blew out from its heart. The spine broke, folding around the Ragnarok's onward trajectory like a crumpled fist. Tangled together, the two void titans tumbled deeper into the consuming haze, their hides bubbling and bursting, their bowels igniting. By the end, Gunn could see nothing but the walls of his own kingdom collapsing in on him. Pillars crumbled, arches disintegrated, view portals clogged. But Gunnar Gunnhilt knew. He knew, as his own ship crushed the life out of him, that he had driven his enemy into the blood well and destroyed them both, and that in the apocalypse of their mutual annihilation, the rest of the fleet had been given just a little longer to evade their own reckoning. So he had served. In the end, given all vows, that was all he had ever wanted.
"For us and the All-Father!"
he roared, smiling, as the darkness took him. The Hrafnical hurtled along the winding capillary, its shields flaring as it scraped the edges of the devouring shawls. Ragnarok's sacrifice had given them a start, but the Alpha Legion did not slacken the pursuit. Russ drove the remains of his fleet mercilessly, flogging their engines harder and pushing them deeper down. Their progress was visible on the tactical schematics, a strung-out line of battleships, bereft of formation, corkscrewing in procession as they raced further into the cluster. More had been lost on the turn, to the Alpha Legion's forward guns or to the ravening cloud banks, but the core had held, bolstered by the backbone given by the Nidhogger, Fenrisava, and Rosfangum. Hrafnical had pulled to the fore, its Gloriana-class engines still potent despite the horrific damage they had taken. Bjorn could only watch. He had no control now. The captured Iota Malephilus was commanded by Godsmote, and still burned along with the rest of the fleet. It was a wretched sight. The Sixth Legion limping ahead of destruction, its warships a motley mix of the looted and the crippled. And in all of that, with all the rush and race, he had still not asked the question of his Primarch.
"What do you hope to find in there, Lord?" he asked.
Russ, absorbed in the command of his flagship, barely acknowledged him.
"Find in there?"
he pursed his lips.
"Guesses?"
Before Bjorn could press him further, the blast doors at the rear of the bridge hissed open. Kvar burst in, followed by his two rune watchers, who between them dragged the bloodied body of a Sixth Legion warrior.
"Lord," the rune priest announced, "you will wish to see this."
As he approached, all those on the command dais, Grimnir, Bjorn, Russ, and the others of the Legion's honor guard, instantly sensed the wrongness. The half-conscious warrior looked Vilka Fenrika, but he smelled like nothing of the kind. Russ gazed down at the captive.
"Kvar," he said, "what have you dredged up?"
"The First Legion," replied the rune priest,
pulling Ormond's chin up and exposing his face. Russ drew closer. Ormond stared up at him blearily.
"And what are you doing on my ship, Dark Angel?"
asked Russ, sounding genuinely curious.
"You are a long way from home."
Ormond coughed, and blood flecked his lips.
"Not so far, Lord."
Russ's eyes narrowed.
"Then what dwells here? You know this?"
"I have seen your fleet data, Lord," said Ormond. "I have seen your damage tally. I know what pursues you. Frankly, I do not think you will live to see what dwells in the Alexis Nebula."
Russ smiled.
"Just like your gene, sire," he said fondly. "Arrogant Skitna."
Fricky sidled close, snickering. Russ was about to ask him more when the forward scopes suddenly streamed with fresh data. The Hrafnical shipmaster called out, and routed the new sensor readings to the overhead tactical lenses.
"Lord,"
the shipmaster reported,
"the tunnel ends."
All eyes snapped to the picked screens. The twisting gas tube was giving out, opening up. A long way ahead, the walls of churning cloud fell away, spreading into a broad bowl. Soon it became apparent that the gulf was vast, far larger than the chambers they had already passed through. Long-range augurs beamed images of a lightning-bound sphere within the depths of the cluster, an abyss ringed by distant walls of the ship-burning plasma. Mid-range augurs plumbed less than a third of it. The rest gaped away, a world-sized lacuna, circled by fire. All knew what that meant. The perilous safety offered by the closed-in world of the cluster had ended, and they were headed back into a space big enough for many fleets to deploy. Russ looked at the data grimly. A flicker of confusion marred his grizzled features, as if some promise had been broken. He looked at Grimner, at the shipmaster, then at Kvar.
"So Gunn was right," he said dryly. "There is no protection for us within. Send out word to the fleet. On my mark, turn to face the enemy."
He could never look entirely unhappy, not with the prospect of battle, whatever odds remained. He reached for Mjolnir, ignoring the Dark Angel.
"No more running," he said. "We make our stand here."
Chapter 4. Once inside it, the inner gulf stretched out around them. The gas clouds pulled back so far that it looked almost as if the fleet were back in the open void. Course correction orders were given again, cascading down command levels, spilling out from the center and into the bridge of every frigate and gunship carrier. Exhausted navigation crews responded again, dragging more power from their overstretched engines, keying in murderously tight response times and pulling back into new defense patterns. There was no time to enact a proper defense. Russ roared out his orders, drawing up his forces in the best approximation of a holding formation. The four remaining capital ships in the center, underpinned by the cover of their surviving strike cruisers. Two rapid reaction forces, each six destroyers strong, drew up on the flanks, primed to streak forwards on command with the aim of breaking enemy clusters as they formed up. A long miscellany of less capable ships, mostly missile boats and corvettes, hung back as a reserve, bolstered by the captured Alpha Legion craft. Together with the remnants of the frigate squadrons, all of which were deployed either at the Zenith or Nadir to prevent outflanking, the 6th Legion prepared itself for the coming impact. It hit them just as the final ships were sliding into position. The Alpha Legion had not fallen far behind, despite Lord Gunn's holding maneuver at the intersection. Two wings of Hydra-marked frigates powered into the gulf, lances already firing. They were followed by more frigates, then strike cruisers, battle cruisers, and finally the heavy battleships, 6 of them, clustered around the Gloriana-class Alpha, a monster in sapphire and gold, impregnable amid its tight web of interlocking support craft. The assault was fast, hard, and overwhelming. With no physical constraints on any axis, the Alpha Legion scattered wide, unraveling into a classic encirclement maneuver. Gunships streamed from open hangar bays, whole swarms tumbling as they dropped into attack vectors. Forward lances opened up, sending spears of ship-killing energy crunching into void shield arrays. In seconds, the two fleets had hit full engagement, tangling into one another, rotating and coalescing. The major battleships became islands of stability around which riots of destruction radiated. Squadrons of attack craft were immolated by single broadsides, their blasted shells smashing into bigger hulls at full speed and scattering debris along the baroque flanks of their killers. Every vessel operated at full capacity, hollowing out their last reserves of shells and torpedoes, filling the vacuum with a maelstrom of spiralling wreckage. The Harafnical dominated the center of the Wolves' line, wreathed in a steady corona of suppressing lasfire and flanked by its hard-pressed strike cruiser wings. Unlike the other battleships, which held steady at their allotted sectors, it thundered up through the heart of the battlesphere, smashing aside any minnows too slow or too clumsy to get out of its path. On the flagship's bridge, every space marine had helmed up and drawn weapons. Over 100 of the rout's warriors were assembled there, spread among its many levels and terraces. Every mortal crew member had donned a rebreather and strapped on carapace armor, dull grey under the low-level combat lighting.
"That is the target," breathed Russ,
watching as the Harafnical cut its way towards the looming Alpha. The enemy flagship wallowed in an expanding ring of smouldering ship shells. Already it had accounted for 2 attack frigates, their hearts ripped out by the volume of lance fire before they had been able to respond.
This time he will face me.
All those assembled on the bridge knew the risks, saw the danger, and approved. They had tried to avoid a pitched engagement for as long as possible, knowing they could never win it. But since one had been forced upon them, the only option was to go for the throat, to tear out the neck of the enemy legion's master. Alpharius had so far not shown himself, even in sham, but Russ had always been convinced his brother was somewhere in the enemy ranks, marshalling the campaign from the safety of his hidden throne. The flagships powered closer to one another, smashing aside the waves of lesser craft that piled in to slow them, their void shields cascading in whirls of colour as incoming fire slammed into the hull lines. Harafnakel's bridge trembled as each of its guns fired in rotation, cycling madly through the last of the ammunition reserves. The ship was tearing its own innards out, spewing them up and spitting them in raw defiance at the horde of enemies that circled, stabbed, and goaded it.
"Seen enough yet?"
asked Russ sardonically, turning to the Dark Angel who still stood beside him.
"Or did you only come here to watch us die?"
Ormond now held his stance unaided, but was clearly still in no condition to fight. "I have no power to save you, if that is what you believe," he said.
"Then your presence here is a mystery to me."
"I only observe." Russ turned on him, massive in his full battle-plate, his fanged face hidden behind a wolf-snarled death mask.
"Then observe this,"
he snarled.
"Observe the way of death for the wolves of Fenris. The serpent will fight his way to me now, as he smells weakness at last, but still he does not see the danger. We have nowhere left to go. They have run us down, and all we have is the corner."
As the Primarch spoke, the Alpha swam up towards them in the forward viewers. The flagship's huge bridge oculus, its facets cracked, showed the immensity of their opposite number, towering ahead and above them, holding station like a raptor in the high airs, secure and inviolable. Its weapon banks had already opened up, hurling waves of projectile fire at the Harafnacle's flame-backed hide, making the void shield coverage flex and spit.
"Flay it!" roared Russ,
knowing that all power had already been fed to the forward weapons array. Harafnakel's lance punched out, sending a lone beam cracking into the Alpha's prow. The strike was good, smashing across the thick hull armour and diving deep within, but it did nothing to halt the battleship's trajectory. When the return strike came, it was withering. Every one of the Alpha's undamaged batteries opened up in unison, flooding local space with flame and making the viewers go white. So many strikes hit their mark that Harafnakel's hull sensors overloaded and screamed nonsense readings to the station operators. The entire ship keeled over, thrown out of its barreling run by the massed impact. The bridge shook, rocked by cracks that shot up from the deck to the dome, swayed by explosions that surged out of every fractured power line and energy conduit.
"Steady course!"
bellowed Russ, still on his feet, his great frostblade in hand, raging at the ruin around him.
"Return fire!"
As the words left his mouth, there was a secondary explosion from several decks down, one that made the plasteel beams under them swell. The 4 void shields gave out in a scream of static, exposing the deeper black of the unbarred void. A second later, in a move that had clearly been planned, the eye-watering sting of teleport energies filled the bridge, followed by the hard bang of air displacement. 100 warp spheres burst into being, clustered around the far end of the bridge chamber. Each one exploded in a shiver of hoarfrost, revealing a Terminator-armored warrior within. The entire bridge exploded with bolt rounds, as both sides opened up with all the weapons they possessed. The Terminators were immediately deluged in shells, launched from every Karl, every Adept, every Wolf. The invaders fought back with murderous efficiency, striding through the storm of bolts and bullets, letting their heavy armor absorb the punishment before doling out more of their own.
"To me, Vilka Fenrika!"
Russ thundered, charging down from the dais, his voice ringing with black fury.
"Slay swift!"
Bjorn was already running, weaving through the hurricane of shells to get to the enemy. There were thousands of armed mortals on the bridge, and almost 100 wolves, but the Terminator-clad adversaries more than had their match. They had come to sever the wolf's neck, to cut off the head and let the body wither. Bjorn vaulted over a disintegrating comms pillar, ducking down into the servitor pit below as return fire whistled back at him. Then he was up again, firing from his own bolter while his lightning claw blazed from its disruptor field. He closed in on the first enemy, a monster in scaled tactical dreadnought plate, laying down a bow wave of autocannon fire that was pulverizing everything in its path. Bjorn got a volley of bolts away. They clanged into the enemy's gorget and made him reel. Bjorn pounced after him, slicing with his claw to rip out the enemy's stomach. The Terminator matched the blow, lashing his power fist around and slamming Bjorn bodily out of his path. Then he turned the cannon on him, coolly aiming at his helm to finish the uneven contest. But the barrels never spoke. The Terminator was ripped from his feet in an explosion of silver and flung 5 meters back, crashing along the deck with a squeal of gouged metal. Bjorn looked up. Kvar had unleashed the storm, and tongues of ice-bright lightning snapped and seethed from the deck to the cracked roof, impaling Terminators on twisting columns of glassy ether matter and blowing them apart from their core. Armor fragments, spotted with boiled blood, joined the clouds of metal shards spinning through the air. The volume of raw noise became earth-shattering, echoing from every shell-pocked wall and rebounding across the battlefield. But the wrath of the Rune Priest was nothing compared to that of his Primarch. Russ barreled into the wall of Terminators like a breaking avalanche, shrugging off the torrent of shells zeroing in on him and driving into the enemy head-on. Those in his path were smashed aside, their armored bulk cracked and bludgeoned by the starblaze arcs of Mjolnir. Russ wielded the Frostblade two-handed, swinging it like a warhammer, severing neck joints and slicing clean through battleplate. He was soon surrounded by an orbital welter of blood and electrostatic, flying in slicks around him as he opened his throat and roared out his wrath.
"Ferris!"
he bellowed, summoning all the wrath of the Ice World's soul.
"For the Ice World!"
Russ had not fought with that freedom in a long time. The kinetic force of his charge drove the Alpha Legionnaires back towards their teleportation loci, fighting furiously just to avoid annihilation on the edge of the Frostblade. Bjorn had seen enemies dissolve entirely in the face of his Primarch's charge. He had seen Xenos turn tail and flee, and even Legiones Astartes formations buckle when faced with the psychic shock of the unleashed Wolf King. The Alpha Legion, though, held firm, falling back in steady ranks, fighting hard, still trying to bring him down. With a sudden lurch, Bjorn realized the truth of what Russ had said. His brother must be among the Terminators, fighting with them, holding them together. His presence was almost palpable, bleeding through the tumult like hunt spore. Bjorn raced back into combat, hunting now for the slightest sign of difference, a taller enemy, a faster one immune to the worst of Kvar's stormfire. His heart spiked with exhilaration. There were 2 Primarchs on the bridge, and the prospect of bringing retribution to the author of all their pain spurred him into even greater feats of combat. Bjorn charged at the Terminator downed by Kvar's warp lightning, who was already clambering to his feet and aiming the autocannon again. 3 of Bjorn's battle brothers came with him, running hard, firing from the waist even as they activated their close combat blades. They leapt as one, a blur of grey amid the fractured whir of the battle, and landed as one, hacking and tearing like a pack of wolves on the neck of its prey. Bjorn had come down on the Terminator's neck, plunging his claw between helm and gorget. The second wolf took out the autocannon with a glittering power axe. Another checked the Terminator's swinging power fist with a storm shield, while the fourth chopped its feet from under it. Acting in close concert, they dragged it back to the deck, their movements a whirl of blades. Bjorn ended the contest, jabbing his claw in deeper, breaking the seal and being rewarded with a jet of blood seething up the length of his jammed talon. As he had done so often, he ripped his blades free, dragging strips of flesh with them and flinging them away. He threw his head back, let his lungs unlock, and roared out his battle fury. The warriors around him did the same, filling the bridge with the massed howl of the rout unleashed. But there was no time to bask in the kill, for the enemy was still a threat. Two-thirds of its strength was intact and clustering around Russ, concentrating all their energies on bringing him down. Bjorn burst clear, head low, firing into the mass of Terminators ahead.
"You are here," he mouthed, and picked his target.
As the space around him dissolved into frenzied combat, Ormond staggered back behind the throne dais, his presence forgotten. The rune priest, who had dragged him before the Primarch, strode off into battle, his skull-topped staff crackling with eye-burning lightning spears. Every wolf on the bridge was now fighting, charging into the heart of it, heedless of the damage being meted out by the massed Terminator assault. The columns above him cracked, spraying him with splintered stone. Combat lumens flickered and faltered as their chambers were shattered. The flagship was listing badly, its course faltering as decisive command was wrenched away from it. The Alpha was still visible in the forward oculus, still pouring on waves of lasfire despite the presence of its own warriors aboard. 100 battles were taking place across other bridges and within the hulls of other compromised starships, each led by squads of space wolves or Alpha legionnaires, each utterly committed to the kills that were now coming freely. Ormond staggered, feeling blood slosh in his armour. They had taken his bolter from him, and he felt useless and weak. He fell to his knees, dragging breath heavily through his bloodied mouth. Looking out across the raging battle made him nauseous. The fatality rate was already crippling. Whichever legion emerged as the victor would carry horrific casualties, and for a cause that even now made little sense to him. His Calibanite brothers understood the war only in rough outline, derived through snatches of garbled astropathic messaging and a few captured vessels running ahead of the gathering storm. Withdrawal into the depths of Alaxis had exacerbated the isolation, something that could never have lasted forever, even if events had not forced their hand. As it was, they had been dragged into the light prematurely, their long vigil disturbed by the afterglow of a far greater conflict. With no guidance and no way of getting any, they had done what they could to establish the truth. Ormond sank to his knees, bracing against the base of the pillar beside him. Russ was still at the heart of it, still breaking his enemies apart, a mountain amid the swirl of lesser warriors. Seeing a Primarch fight made him keenly aware that he had never seen his own, and had no knowledge what it must be to follow one of the 18 into battle. Perhaps that was what had made his people as cautious as they had been. The heritage of Caliban should have bred more fortitude. Selecting the enemy had never been difficult under the shadowed eaves of the Eternal Woods. Seeing the two legions grapple with one another, knowing what he knew now, he began to see the shape of it all unravel. The tangle of interlocking claims came apart, revealing a certainty beneath, one that he had been grasping at ever since reading the combat logs. When the impulse unit at his wrist lit up, he almost missed it. He shuffled down further, edging into the shadow of the pillar and lifting his gauntlet to his mouth.
"Where, then?" he asked.
"Close," came the crackling voice from the unit.
"We thought they had killed you. We are glad to be wrong. Do you have anything else?" "You surely have what you need."
"Just one word." Ormond looked up, casting his pain-filled gaze across the scene of carnage. The wolves were fighting hard, but their end was now snapping at their heels. The Primarch would be downed eventually, his claws bloody, and then the battle would be over. With the Hrafnikel gone, the fleet would follow. Having seen them in all their defiant glory, he found he could no longer be impartial.
"Loyal,"
he said, wondering, as the word left his lips, whether that was any longer something to celebrate.
"There can be no doubt."
Russ hacked his way through the enemy, barely seeing those whom he slew. They were a blur, a mass of armour and muscle, inert fodder for his blade. He had already sensed the true enemy, and besides that presence, nothing else mattered. He ignored the wounds he took and the losses of his pack around him. He just kept moving, grinding through the walls of sapphire and gold. He had never hated Altharius, not like Gilliman had hated him. The Alpha Legion had been an irrelevance, an afterthought, a gang of shadow-huggers at the beck and call of Horus, who were worthy of nothing more than faint scorn. At least Magnus had been a proper enemy, out in the open, getting his hands thick with sorcery where it could be seen. Alpharius had been nothing. A whisper, a suspicion, an echo. That was no longer the case. Russ's loathing burned white, a seam of diamond in his soul. There was no victory in this fight any longer, just a chance for vengeance under the gaze of the Hrafnikel's graven images.
You are a sword in the wrong hands, my brother.
They had been empty words when they were spoken, and now they were even less than that. Deception or no, Magnus had deserved his fate, and if they were all damned now, then at least there was penance in eliminating another traitor before the end.
"Face me, brother!"
he roared, his mighty voice rising above the thunder of battle. He crunched aside one Alpha Legionnaire with his gauntlets before eviscerating a second, never resting, his entire body transmuted into a machine of battle fury.
"My ships are burning! My sons are dying! What can you fear now?"
And then, before him, the battlefield suddenly opened up. The surviving wolves pushed the gap wider, grappling with foes that outmatched them, but somehow forcing a chasm between the ranks. At the far end of the opening, standing alone, was a legionnaire in Terminator plate, arrayed just as all the others were. There were no unique sigils on his armor, no deference from his brothers around him. But Russ knew. He lowered Mjolnir towards the Alpha Legionnaire's neck.
"I mark you!"
thundered Ross, breaking into the charge that would carry him close. The Terminator braced, accepting the challenge, saying nothing but readying a long blade that spat with an emerald energy field. Before either of them could strike, though, the viewports above suddenly blazed with light. The deck rocked more violently than before, buoyed by a shock more profound and more violent than any starship could generate. Hrafnikel's bridge quaked, harrowed to its core, and combatants were thrown from their feet. Even Russ was driven to his knees as the deck seesawed around them. Mortals were crying out now, not from battle lust or pain, but from shock. The remaining view screens filled with new signals, bursting with runes that spilled from repeater stations and overlaid the already congested battlesphere. Russ steadied himself, peering up at the real view portals to get some idea, any idea, of what had happened. For a terrible moment everything went dark, as if the void beyond had wrapped itself around them to choke the last life out. Then the shadow cleared, replaced by rows upon rows of glittering lights, each one lodged amid a plunging rock face of astonishing size. Turrets sailed past, colossal towers, bridges and parapets, each one crusted with ranks of ship-killing weaponry. Engine thrusters, bigger than whole destroyers, glowed hot red, bleeding out into the void like shackled suns. From under the shadow came more warships, each one as dark as night, unmarked by battle, but with their weapons primed and ready. Dominus-class warships headed up a whole flotilla in assault formation, dropship bays open and gunnels unsheathed. The Colossus was a star fort, a Ramillies-class world-ender, one of the great anchor engines of the Imperial arsenal. Even alone such a monster would have been capable of taking on the two battle-ravaged fleets that now lay under its vast shadow. But with its escort flotilla in tow, the shape of the encounter had altered entirely.
"Come about!"
Russ shouted, seeing the Starfort's guns angle towards them.
"Pull clear! Pull clear!"
His cries were given no time to have an effect, even if the navigation crews had been able to enact them. The ships were too close and too damaged to respond. But the Starfort was not aiming at the Hrafnikel. Its immense beam weapons opened up, sending star-blazed shafts leaping across the void. The Alpha was hit hard, its shields deluged with a tide of spilled plasma, and it slewed wildly away from the impact. Other Alpha Legion ships were also hit, cracking apart from the impact shockwaves, their engines exploding as more lance hits burst clean through them. In the wake of the ranged assault, black-armored attack craft screamed through the gaps, racing past the hulls of the engaged battleships and strafing them. Their larger battleship counterparts moved into firing positions, swinging around to expose long macro-cannon-filled flanks. The Alpha Legion ships, having been in the Ascendant for so long, were suddenly overwhelmed by wave after wave of attacks. The remaining wolves hit back where they could, responding instantly to take advantage of the sudden reversal of fortune. All across the battlesphere, boarding parties were hastily recalled and attack runs pulled back to bolster faltering lines. Everything swayed on a fulcrum, teetering wildly until the new shape of battle could be determined. Ross pulled himself to his feet, searching for his opposite number amid the confusion. Teleport bubbles were snapping open again, pulling Alpha Legion Terminators back to their own flagship before it was ripped apart by incoming fire. The lone Terminator facing Russ activated his locus, and Aetherfrost raced up his armor shell. He deactivated his weapon and inclined his helm in what might have been acknowledgement or mockery, or maybe just regret that they had not locked blades. Russ watched him go, still too far away to intervene. All around him, his surviving warriors got back to their feet and reached for their weapons, hunting down any Alpha Legionnaires whose teleport loci had failed, or limping back to the command stations to oversee the Harafnakal's retreat from the fury of the war zone. As Russ looked up at the oculus above him, his whole body still burning with hyper-adrenaline, he saw the Starfort rise higher, gaining altitude over the battle plane in order to give it a steeper fire angle. The sheer size of it was incredible, even after serving alongside full Imperial expeditionary fleets, some of which had contained war engines of a similar class. Such a creation could still impress him with its flamboyantly outsized majesty. Russ saw Bjorn limping over to him, his armor marked with bolter impacts. Bjorn twisted his helm off, exposing a bloodied mane of dark hair.
"There is your answer," he said. "To what?"
Bjorn nodded towards the real viewers, still dominated by the underside of the colossal Starfort as it ground its way after the imploding Alpha Legion vanguard.
"The serpent. The many-headed beast."
For a moment, Russ did not see what he meant. Then, as the vast armor plates slid past, he caught sight of the Starfort's emblem, a lone sigil, mounted within a ring of gold, embedded at the very heart of its armoured underbelly. Perhaps the name had come from Terran lore, or maybe it harked back to one of the many warped beasts of Caliban. In any case, the image was unmistakable, an amalgam of lion, dragon, and snake, rearing on clawed hind legs, surrounded by gold runes, arranged in twisting, branch-like patterns.
"Chimera," said Russ, reading the massive ident plate. "The runes read aright."
The Starfort passed overhead, driving the Alpha Legion vessels away from Harafnakal's local space. Russ felt a hollowness, the aftermath of a fight he had been destined to lose. He had never been saved before, pulled away from defeat by the actions of another legion. Something of Lord Gunn's old intransigence flared up within him then, the pride of the rout, pricked by its failure.
"We were the guardians once. We were the watchers over all the others."
Now they were just one of 18 legions, humbled by the 20th legion and rescued by the first. There was a kind of symmetry in that, though one that made his stomach turn.
"What are your orders, Lord?" asked Bjorn.
Russ snapped out of his introspection. The void was still alight with ordnance, and the battle was not yet won.
"All survivors rally to Harafnakal,"
said Russ, sheathing Mjolnir and striding back to the command throne.
"We must see what we have left."
He paused then, looking at the devastation around him, the blood on the decks, the ruins of what had once been the center of his undefeated war fleet. It would take months to restore, if such a thing were even possible. But that paled beside the greater grief, the one that could never be expunged. They had lost.
"I recognize my failing," Russ said, speaking to himself, unheard by the others. "Be assured. I recognize it. At last."
Chapter 5. The arrival of Chimera changed everything. The Alpha Legion fleet had been spread wide, outflanking the numerically inferior wolves in order to bring the maximum amount of fire to bear. Reserves had been minimal, as had sensor watch on the extremities of the void chamber. The Star Fort had emerged seemingly from nowhere, though in reality the seasoned First Legion pilots had used the curtains of cloud to mask their approach, relying on the auger distortions created by the Alaxis Nebula's idiosyncratic effect. The Star Fort's firepower was enormous, just as its makers had intended when they built it. It was a battle-changer, a fleet-killer, a system-destroyer. The Alpha was mauled deeply during the first exchanges, placed as it was at the forefront of the 20th Legion's assault on Hrafnikel. It might have been destroyed entirely, but for the sacrifice of its escort wings, including 3 strike cruisers with full battle complements of Alpha Legionnaires on board. Even so, the flagship barely made it beyond the range of Chimera's gunnery crews, limping back into the heart of its own fleet, its spine burning. The prospect of resistance lingered a little longer. The Alpha Legion still had a full battle fleet, which, despite 3 full engagements, was in far better shape for combat than the equivalent wolf ships. Lines were drawn, and commanders swiveled their ships' flanks to present broadsides. As the starships closed, however, the scale of the turnaround became brutally apparent. The Alpha Legion's forward lines were doused in a rolling tide of beam weaponry, punching through shields and rupturing drive housings. A whole raft of lesser warships exploded in sequence, spraying shattered hull segments across the void. The Alpha and the other major battleships responded with concentrated volleys of their own, but the disparity in severity was obvious. When the remaining Dark Angels battleships piled into the attack, joined by the few Wolves vessels still capable of launching significant actions, the reverse soon threatened to become a massacre. Even as the Alpha Legion ships turned tail, shifting trajectory to line up for the Void Chamber's entry point, Chimera's batteries reached full pitch, hurling ferocious quantities of plasma, lasbeams, heavy projectiles, and torpedoes into the reeling enemy lines. The Void ignited, eviscerating some ships from prow to stern, rocking others with the recoil of exploding engine chambers. Gunships, fleeing for the safety of their hangars, were caught in the tempest and obliterated. The Nidhogg'r, Rusfengum, and Fenrisava led a counterattack from the depths of the beleaguered Wolves formation, adding their guns to the maelstrom emanating from the Star Fort's steadily rotating flanks. Eventually the order for retreat was given, and the Alpha Legion withdrew back down the tunnel they had emerged from just hours earlier. The retreat was messy, and more ships were ripped apart on the way out, harried all the way back to the aperture by vengeful space wolves and battle-fresh Dark Angels. After a final defiant barrage, the Alpha and most of the core of the 20th Legion's fleet managed to extract themselves, slipping into the channel, followed by their strike cruiser entourage. At the aperture's edge, in a final act of desperation, 4 ships remained behind, blocking the passage down the tunnels just as Ragnarok had done. Their void shields were drenched by simultaneous strikes from 100 incoming lasbeams, filling the tunnel's mouth from edge to edge with ballooning plumes of flame. The residual ships fought hard and well, manoeuvring as best they could in the tight space to rotate shield-facing hull segments. But even so, the delay was only temporary, as one by one they disappeared amid shattering explosions. Their sacrifice was just enough. Beyond them, the bulk of the Alpha Legion fleet slipped down in the capillary tunnels, flying ahead of destruction, heading at full burn towards the cluster's edge. By the time the way was cleared for pursuit, it was too late to bring Chimera's firepower to bear. The Star Fort drifted to a halt, remaining sentinel at the void chamber's edge. The Dark Angels battle group fell in around it, mopping up the last resistance before spreading out into a holding formation. A few of the Wolves' fast attack craft made a break for the aperture, their rage driving them to visit vengeance on the retreating enemy, but they were hauled back in by furious orders from the Hrafnikel. There was no strength left for a proper assault, and once separated, they would have been picked off. The battle was over, and although survival had been achieved, there was no strength left for retribution. The last of the wreckage spun and clanked its way clear of the battle site, drifting amid frost crystals of blood in the void. Battleships slowly wound down their lance arrays and depowered their main drives. The survivors came together amid the drifting clouds of burned metal, battle-savaged Sixth Legion warships pulling alongside pristine First Legion escorts. Above it all hung the massive profile of Chimera. Its hull edges were dark from cannon discharge, and its crenellated heights flickered from overloading void generators. It was magnificent, a king among vassals. Less than 20 minutes after the last guns had ceased fire, the Comburst reached Hrafnikel's bridge. It was terse, yet polite, just as inter-legion communications between these two had always been. "Commander of Chimera salutes and gives honour to Commander of Hrafnikel," it went, hissing over the damaged vox units of the flagship's cracked command throne. "He requests all vessels come to full stop. Weapon batteries power down, and fleet commander makes transit to Chimera for consultation. By the Emperor's will." By the time that came in, Russ was back at his station, seated on the throne and surveying the frantic repair work taking place all across the bridge. He cracked a wry smile.
"By the Emperor's will," he murmured. "And what can they know about that?"
Grimnir was instantly furious.
"Do they not know a Primarch's vessel?" he raged. "They should come here! Lord, I will make the summons."
Russ held his hand up.
"Peace," he said wearily. "Look around you. Would you wish them to see our weakness? In any case, they have the right of it. We were not the victors here."
He rose to his feet. The heavy drilling had already started, and Medicaid crews jostled with gangs of Mechanicum workers, securing, making good, tying together. Casualty numbers were still coming in, and early indications were that they were ruinous. The Legion had been critically wounded, and the scale of the damage was apparent to all who studied it. To fight again in any capacity, that would be a miracle. The prospect loomed large now, the one that Bjorn had correctly identified as haunting Russ's dreams. To miss the great battle, to be forced to the sidelines, to watch as others became the lords of the unfolding war.
"I will go,"
Russ announced, rising from the throne. He turned, looking over to where Ormond still sat slumped, his wounds left untended amid the thousands of casualties requiring the skills of the wolf priests.
"And you," said Russ, "you will come with me."
The interior of Chimera was lamplit, echoing, filled with marching ranks of marble pillars amid a velvet gloom. Menials shuffled in the shadows, swathed in thick robes and carrying ceremonial staves marked with the images of beasts. The designs were heraldic devices, stylized in the tradition of Caliban, as tortuous as the forest in which their inspirations had once dwelt. Russ and Ormond were escorted from the landing stages by dark angels in obsidian dark armor. Each of the Calibanite knights carried a longsword, and their heavy battle plate was draped in pale robes. Cowls had been cast across their helms, making the lenses glow like the light-caught eyes of felines. All honour had been paid to Russ on his arrival in the cavernous landing halls. Every dark angel had bowed, clasping a gauntlet to his chest. The menials had lowered their faces to the deck, remaining prostrate until he had passed. Russ found that distasteful, but said nothing. Everything about the crew of Chimera was unusual. They wore the war plate of the First Legion, though with subtle alterations. There was a green amidst the black lacquer finish, and the repeated motif of the beasts, iconography redolent of a kingdom forever overlooked by brooding canopies.
"How long have you been in this place?"
asked Russ, walking through a long gallery hung with ceremonial swords.
59 years, said Ormond, limping heavily. "Alexis is a newer outpost."
"How many outposts are there?"
"When we left Caliban there were 6. There must be more now."
Ormond looked at Russ apologetically. It has been hard to maintain communications. Sometimes we even lose touch with the homeworld. In here, in the clouds, it is worse.
So what in hell are you doing here? Asked Russ.
Ormond gestured ahead of him. If I may, Lord. They passed through a pair of massive darkwood doors, and entered a long hall with a stone floor and tall windows carved into the walls. The rust red of the void bled through stained glass images of knights slaying horrors of the deep wood. A throne had been set up at the hall's far end, surmounted by a huge representation of a chimera in burnished bronze. Fires guttered in iron torches hung from the pillars, and the pungent smell of incense wafted across the flags.
We are not so dissimilar, Russ thought. We both take our home worlds with us.
Knights of the First Legion stood silently in the aisles, remaining motionless under the shadows of the great columns. A lone figure waited for them at the hall's end, a Lord Commander by his livery, standing helmless next to an empty throne. Two iron candelabras burned on either side of him, casting flickering light across a lean face. As Russ approached, he bowed deeply.
"My Lord Primarch," he said,
his voice precise and aristocratic.
"My thanks for coming here. I am Althalos, castellan of this fortress."
Russ drew up before him, a clear head taller and far broader. His ornate battle plate still bore the marks of the fight with the Alpha Legion. Amid such austere finery, he looked like an ogre that had stumbled into the halls of the just.
"You want to do this here?" he asked.
Althalos raised an eyebrow.
"My lord?"
Russ drew his frostblade, already tiring of the ritual, and only stopped when he heard several hundred bolters slide from their holsters. Althalos looked at the blade cautiously.
"I had understood, my lord, that we were allies."
Russ looked at him for a moment, then at the dark angels with their weapons trained on him, and slowly replaced the blade.
"Actually, this is refreshing," he said. "You really have no idea."
"I think I guess," said Althalos, smiling thinly. "We have been away from our Primarch for a long time. Some traditions have no doubt passed us by."
"For the better, perhaps," muttered Russ. "So tell me, this is a major fleet. Your spy tells me you have more. What has happened here?"
"We had hoped for answers from you," said Althalos. "Lord Luther has done nothing more than what was asked of him. He has raised fresh strength from Caliban, training and equipping new chapters and sending them out into fastnesses across the void. We are now greater in strength than at any time in our past. We have ships and weapons and knights to bear them. What we lack is certainty. Our orders have not changed, even if the Imperium has."
Althalos drew closer.
"We know some things, but not all. We know that the legions are now at war, that Istvan has burned. Nightmares of treachery assail our astropathic spires in every cycle, and yet the images are confused."
He shot Russ an apologetic look.
"And so we have chosen caution. We had to be sure. If you will forgive me, your reputation..."
Russ waved that away irritably.
"It matters not. What counts is the next step."
Already the thought of a hidden legion was making his mind race. If there was strength on Caliban, more than any had guessed, then the course of the war would change decisively. A grand alliance could restore his own legion's fortunes. The initiative could be seized, the fight taken back to Horus.
"But what of the lion?"
Althalos gave him a dry look.
"Quite."
"You have heard nothing?"
"I hoped you had news. You are brothers."
"That means less than you might think."
He had no idea where the lion was. The expeditionary fleets had been scattered widely, following their own courses, carving out new branches of the crusade. The lion had been among the proudest of them, driving his legion hard, vying with Gilliman to conquer the fastest. Russ had often thought of him in the days since Prospero, trying to guess, as he had done with so many of his kin, which way he would have gone. Perhaps Horus had gained another convert. But that was hard to imagine. The lion had wished to be War Master himself, and he would surely never have settled for second place behind his old rival.
"As matters stand, I can tell you nothing," he said, truthfully enough.
"Well, that is a matter of regret," said Althalos. "The Protector of Caliban has been waiting for a long time. It is hard for him. Lord Luther's soul is proud, and this silence has tested him." Russ nodded.